Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please include onto your prayers Rabbi Carl and Jan as they are out this weekend. And to all also of our friends who are not with us this morning, you continue to pray for them. To our friends and to those who are new in our congregation, welcome back to Beit Shekinah. I hope and pray that everyone had a meaningful and special time with family and friends for the whole duration of the week. And also, we are looking forward for a nice and warm time to spend the weekend with family and friends. It should be a good time to begin the Shabbat, right? Last Shabbat, we were privileged to be in Tomahawk, Alberta. Have you heard about Tomahawk, Alberta? Thank you. And we have brethren who were there with me. Welcome to Beit Shekinah. Tomahawk, Alberta is near Edmonton. And together with some of our Lakayim friends, with our Lakayim fellowship, we camped out for a week, for the long weekend in there. We had fellowship with our Messianic brethren over there, and we really had a good time. We were blessed with a wonderful Shabbat service. The organizers rented a hall, and it was full packed with people coming from Fort Mac, Stony Plain, Edmonton, and Calgary. It was really a blessed time, a sweet time of blessed fellowship. The brethren was greatly challenged by the teaching that we shared to them, and it is also my prayer today that you will be encouraged and blessed with the words that we will be looking into our Torah this morning. And I am confident, and you be confident also, to declare that our God is an awesome God. And because He is an awesome God, He reigns. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, for bringing us together in this wonderful place to study your words, to fellowship with the brethren, to come before your throne, to be with brothers and sisters. We thank you, O Lord, for your goodness for us throughout the whole week. And we would like, O Lord, to pray that if there is anyone, O Lord, who needs blessing today, give it to him right now. Give it to her right now, O Lord. For they needed your presence in their lives. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the study of your words. Amen. No portion of the Torah is better known than the section that we have studied last Shabbat. It is the Torah portion last Shabbat was Va'et Kanan. And among its pages, if you could see in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, it is the widely known prayer, Shema, right? And this passage is almost repeatedly daily, and is recited every morning and every night and every Sabbath prayers. It is probably the first prayer learned as a child and the last prayer before leaving this world. It has been for every generation of Torah believers that the Shema is the central and basic core of belief. It is the central declaration, and the Shema is our confession of faith. Yeshua himself declares this central truth when he was asked by the Sadducees, what was the first and foremost commandment in the Torah? And he answered, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your hearts." Yeshua said this because the Shema expresses our devotion to Adonai, to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. This kind of love is a distinctive mark of a true believer. A true disciple of Yeshua exercises this diligent faith, a faith that is described in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17. "You should diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies, His statutes, which He has commanded you. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord has promised you." This teaches us that His words should be in our hearts. And the word diligence there is understood to be putting quality in the observance of our faith. It is done with conviction. It is done with persistence. And it is done with dedication. Believing in God, the God of this Holy Scripture, the God of this Torah, is not just a wishy-washy faith. You know what they mean? You know what they say on the streets? This is not just a just faith that we have. This is taking utmost care and proper awareness of what this book is doing in our lives. You say that you know the God of this book, but you are not doing what the will of God is saying for you to do. It is declaring to the world that God has changed our lives. When we say that we believe in the God of the Torah, we are saying that this God changed our life. Amen? And if there is no change in your life, in my life, how can you say that you really love Him with all your heart, your soul, and your might? This is the level of commitment that Adonai wants us to see. This is the level of commitment that Adonai wants to see in our life. God does not change, and He expects the same from His people, from us. In verse 15, again, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, what does it say there? For the Lord your God, in the midst of you, in the midst of Beit Shekinah, is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you. Read this, folks. And He will wipe you off the face of the earth. If His anger is kindled against us, He will wipe us off the face of this earth. What would you like people to say about you at your funeral? There was a priest and a minister and a rabbi that was asked this question, you know, in an interfaith conference a few years ago here in Calgary. The question again, what would you like people to say about you at your funeral? The priest said, I hope they'll say that the Reverend cared for the weakest and the most vulnerable member of our community. Wow, that was a good one, right? The minister said, I hope they'll say Pastor inspired the flock to go out and make a difference in this world. Finally, the rabbi said, oh no, what would the people say about me in my funeral? I hope they'll say, look, he's still breathing. Beloved friends, let me guide you into the words of Proverbs. Let's open in there. Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Open with me, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 27. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Wow. This is very important to us. This describes someone who is biblically diligent, someone who is willing to go above and beyond, someone who is sold out, someone who is dedicated to the God of Israel. To be diligent in the word does not mean that we are 100% perfect, right? What it means here in this book says that we are consistent, that our faith is consistent with this book. That our faith is consistent in this Torah. It means that even when we fail, we don't give up. That this book of the law, guides our life. We know that there are many self-help books that are being sold even in Christian bookstores right now. I think it has the most aisles. How to be rich, how to be something else. But this book of the law, if you could see, there's only one aisle that is dedicated in every Christian bookstore an aisle that is dedicated to the Bible. Among other else, if you go to Christian bookstores right now, it's full of books that are self-help books. What I'm trying to say here is, we should not give up on our faith. It means to say that if we are consistent with the Word of God, we don't let things that are inconsistent with this book in our mind, in our hearts. We don't give up on His promises, for this book of the law is our strength. This is our rock. This is our foundation. It is our mighty fortress. The hard thing in this world is we are losing hope on the Word of God. That it means sometimes we see the Word of God just as an ordinary textbook. But it should not be. Matthew 23, verse 23. Let's open in there. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. Let me repeat that. You have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. These are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Yeshua warns us here to make our priorities right, focusing on the weightier matters of the Torah. It is basically saying that in our fellowship in the Messiah, that in essentials there is unity. In non-essentials there is liberty. And in all things, charity. Many a times, we spend so much time in tiny details that we end up making a huge mistake. In the big scheme of things. Yeshua here is teaching that we need to focus on what matters most and put the tasks that matter most above those that matter least. When we start majoring in minor things, we end up losing our focus. Folks, bring to your heart what is written again in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, our parasha this morning, the reading we had this morning. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the people, for you were the fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand. He redeemed you from the house of slavery. He redeemed you from sin. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God. The faithful God who keeps His covenant, His loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. But, verse 10, repays those who hate Him to their faces. To destroy them, He will not delay. With him who hates him, he will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. These are strong words. In our parasha portion today also, going forward to chapter 9, verse 3, it says, know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and He will subdue them before you so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. This passage relates to us how Adonai describes Himself as a devouring fire. It speaks of His fiery judgment upon the wicked, destruction prepared for His enemies. But although throughout all the scriptures we can see that He is a God of love, He also does not take sin lightly. He will indeed rain down judgment upon those that turn against Him and His commandments. We may think to ourselves, oh, too bad for God's enemies. Hallelujah. But listen, folks, we must also tremble and make sure that we are in the right standing with Jehovah. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23, it says in there, so watch yourselves that you do not forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. He says time and time again to watch out that you won't forget His covenants. Again and again He is saying, do not forget My Torah. Do not forget My words, because Yahweh your God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. And we should not take this lightly. Don't take it for granted or assume that we are in the right standing with God and that we are walking with Him in faith. This is something that we cannot afford to be mistaken about. don't be mistaken of your standing with God. Ever. Because your eternity hangs on it. We need to be diligently sure that this is the case in our heart and that He is actually present in our life. This is the most basic thing in the Torah. He should be in your heart, in our lives. If we are not in the right standing with God through Yeshua Messiah, definitely God will turn upon us as a consuming fire, as a devouring fire. Keep in mind that the words found in the book of Hebrews, if you mind, open again to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. Chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews, verse 7. Let me read to you until verse 19. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me, as in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They did not know my ways, as I swore in my wrath. They shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who are disobedient? Read it. Read it. Verse 19. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. It was all clearly written there. Is it getting hot in here? Or, I don't know. Do you feel it? Or it's getting cold? Well, it reminds me of a new rabbi during his first service leading the community. the rabbi noticed an older congregant walking to the elder and demanded rather loudly that the air conditioning be turned down because it was too cold. The elder nodded kindly and, "Don't worry, I'll take good care of it." And after a few prayers, the same congregant asked again the same elder to have the air conditioning to be turned up because he said, "Oh, it was too hot." Not long after, again, it was too cold for the congregant. And then again, too hot for the congregant all morning long. And the elder, always nodding kindly, and took care of it. After the services, the rabbi said to the elder, "I was impressed with your patience in handling the situation very well about the air conditioner." The elder said, "That's no big deal, Rabbi. We don't even have an air conditioner." Going back to what we are talking about, do we have to worry about this? Yes. Apparently, there will be many in the end who will really think that they know Yeshua. They have good standing with the brethren. But Yeshua will proclaim that he never knew them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "For from within," see this, look at this, folks. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds the evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." And just a few verses after it, in verse 19, before it, in verse 19, he says, "Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated." You know, Yeshua cuts down and throw people of unbelieving hearts into the fire. While it is true that the scripture teaches us that we don't secure our salvation by our righteous works, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, what does it say there? It is very clear there that in that we are saved by his grace, through our faith. But also, in the book of James, it says that by our works, by our faith's fruit, it determines the quality of our faith. By your righteous deeds, it determines the quality of each and everyone's faith. Where our devotion is, and where and if we actually love God. If there is anything that is leading you away from and not consistent with this Torah, this should be already a red flag that in your heart you are not right with God. Consistency is what matters in following Torah. If this is the case, we should be terrified at the possibility of being judged by the Almighty God, because He is a consuming fire. If we are not walking in the Torah and we constantly find ourselves in conflict with the Word, constantly grieving the Holy Spirit by our bitterness, by our slandering with our malicious behavior with other people. Are we standing on Torah? Are we? No. If we are not loving each other and not keeping Adonai's Torah, it is an indicator that we are spiritually sick to the bones. There is a righteous one, a tzaddik. Let me revise the story so you would know. You know Glenn Campbell? Glenn Campbell, blessed be his memory, is the country music star who died at 81 last Tuesday from Alzheimer's. He grew up in rural Arkansas. The man who sang hits such as Mr. Rhinestone Cowboy. Yeah? And by the time I get to Phoenix, he was actually raised as a Baptist in a family of 12. But the Jewish Journal pointed out that in 2008, Reuters said that Campbell had been a brother. He is a Messianic Jew for the last 2 decades of his life. Amen. Wow. He and his wife Kim attended services at a Messianic synagogue near their home in Malibu, and they celebrated major biblical holidays such as Passover, Rosh Hashanah, and Hanukkah. Kim cooks a mean brisket but is still working on her matzah balls. And I believe there are so many of us who are working on our matzah balls too, right? Brother Forrest, I think, is the champion the last time. Dean Goodman wrote, "And grape juice subs for Manischewitz in the alcohol-free household." Goodman even observed a menorah and a Hebrew book in Campbell's home. Messianic Judaism combines Jewish traditions with the idea that Jesus Christ is the coming Messiah. It's Jews who believe that Christ is the risen Savior, as Campbell explained to Reuters. Some Messianic Jews want the movement to be accepted as a sect of Judaism, but mainstream Jewish movements believe the ideology is a contradiction. Glenn Campbell had an excellent conversation with Adonai when he went to be with the Lord. And he asked, "Lord, I would like to know what Gan Eden looks like, or the Garden of Eden. And Hashamin, heaven, and also Gehinnom, or hell, looks like. I want to see how they look like." So Adonai said, "Okay," and led Glenn Campbell to 2 doors. He opened 1 door, and Glenn looked in, and he saw in the middle of the room was a large table. In the middle of the table, there was a large pot of stew. Smelled very delicious, and made Glenn's mouth water. You see? However, the people on the table were thin and very sickly. They were holding spoons with very long handles that were strapped in their arms. And each one is having difficulty to reach the pot of stew and take a spoonful of it into their mouths. So Glenn Campbell said, "Ooh, this sight is very full of misery and suffering." Adonai said, "You have seen Gehinnom, or hell." So they went to the other room and opened the door. It was exactly the same as the first one. There was the large table, a pot of stew that makes the mouth water, and the people with the same long-handled spoons, but here the people were plump. They were well-nourished. They were laughing. They were talking. They were happy. They were contented. They were blessed. And Glenn said, "I don't understand. Lord, I don't understand." "It is simple," said Yahweh. "It requires but one skill. You see, they have learned to feed each other, while the greedy thinks only of themselves." You see, if our congregation don't help each other and lovingly bear each other's shortcomings, if we, who is a part of congregation, of this congregation, develop hate in our hearts and then leave the community, you turn your back to your brothers and sisters, aren't you acting like the wicked in these tables? You are only thinking of yourself. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Shall we go there? Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. "Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick, in prison, you did not visit me.' And they themselves also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did you become a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And this will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life." Wow. Heavy words. Heavy words. As we meditate on these things, all of this should bring clarity already in our lives. How we should live. What we should spend our time doing. Living a life of humility and holiness before God. If you know what is at stake in here already, nothing else matters. The wicked man, the wicked woman who ignores the truth and goes about their life to seek after their own selfish gain, what did the Lord say? This will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There are many real issues, of course, of our heart which manifest themselves into our lives. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 states that above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. The theme of our parasha this morning is Ekev, or it means if. Or because. It may also mean consequences. In the end of time, when Yeshua comes to judge every one of us, would you run away from him? Rejecting him? If you wait that long, it might be too late for you. If you wait until the end, it might be too late for you. Rabbi Eleazar said, repent one day before your death. His Talmidim asked, does a man know on which day he will die? Rabbi Eleazar said, that being the case, you should repent today, for perhaps tomorrow you will die. Let us fear him now. Let us fear him today. The message of the good news is not something we just believe. It is also something we obey and turn from our sins. Let me give you the last portion that we should be reading this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 until verse 19. It is written here, for it is time for judgment to begin. Where does the judgment begin? Read it. Right here. The judgment begins with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome? For those who do not obey the gospel of God. And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Let us remember that our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Abba, Father, may you be the one to speak to our hearts, O Lord, your people. Grant that we will see clearly and plainly that you are a consuming fire. And you deserve alone our praise. Provide us, O Lord, the faith that revives our sick souls, our callous hearts, O Lord. I pray that this morning that you will provide us an unmovable faith, building us. Pardon us, O Lord, of our sin. Forgive us of our wicked things in our hearts. Regenerate our souls. Revive us, O Lord. With every head bowed, every eyes be closed, I want you to talk to God right now. I want you to talk to God on your seats. Tell him. Tell him of your deepest cares. What is going on in your life right now? Are you away from God? Suddenly, it's like that you cannot talk to him. Suddenly, he is away from you. Why? Speak with your hearts. Open it up to him. If you want to come down in the altar today, you may do so. Come speak to him. Come speak to our God. As I ask the elders and the prayer team to come up in front and pray for you. Come up right now. Come up. Don't look at your friends with you. If you want to talk to him right now, why not come? Talk to him. Open your heart in him, for he cares for you. As the piano plays, the music plays, I would like to ask everyone who needs prayer, come in front. Our elders, our prayer team will pray for you. But if you like to pray alone, open your heart to God, you can come also in this altar today and talk to Him. I wonder how many will say this morning, "Brother Luel, brother, please pray for me." Would you raise your hand and I will pray for you? As the music plays, I will pray. Thank you, sister. God bless you. Who else? Thank you, brother. I'll pray for you. Sister, I saw your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? I will pray for you. Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister. Thank you. The Lord is in this house today. Who would like? Thank you, sister. I saw your hand. Who else? Come in front. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. I see your hand. I will pray for you. God bless you. Come in. Come into this altar. I see you, brother. Thank you. I will pray for you. Come in this altar right now and open up your hearts to Him. He is here for you. And He would like to change your lives. Come into Him. If you want prayers, raise up your hand. I will pray for you. I will pray for you. Thank you, sister. I saw your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? Thank you. Thank you, brother. I see your hand. Thank you, brother. I see your hand, sister. Thank you very much. God bless you. I will pray for you right now. These elders in front, the prayer team in front will pray for you. Come into His presence. Come into His presence. Open up your hearts to Him. He will change your life right now. He will revive you of your stone, hard heart. Every head's bowed, right where you are, dear friends. Pray. Pray that God will be in your heart. Pray that He will change you. The Lord knows every sin in your life. The times when you are alone, that you are seeking Him, the Lord is there for you.